This is really weird sitting here like this. At least you're standing there. But very Captain Kirk with his microphone as well. I'm going to speak this morning about The Last of the Seven Mountains that we've been going through. And you can see I've got a subtitle on there that says Building the Joshua Nation. So I'm going to touch on some other stuff that God has been talking to me about in relation to how all the nations fit together and where God is likely to take us as we move to the next era and the next generation. All this stuff is very Star Trek, Next Generation, Enterprise, all that stuff. But I struggled to put this together because the stuff that God's been talking to me about would probably fill up several mornings, and I don't particularly want to sit here for several mornings and explain it. But I will go through this and see if I can just get the heart of what this is out and express to you how things join together. Now, the reason that I've gone last is simply because God told me to. You've heard about all the other mountains, but the reason this one has to be last will become clear as I go through what Enterprise is all about and what God means by Enterprise. So it's always good to start with some definitions of what is Enterprise, and this actually will kind of set the scene for how things will unfold through the rest of my talk really. So this is a good one. It's an organization, especially a business, or a difficult and important plan, especially one that will earn money, or it's a project undertaken or to be undertaken, especially one that is important or difficult and that requires boldness or energy. And you're getting a flavour where this is going. It's a project or activity that involves many people and is often difficult. Or as a personal quality, it's eagerness to do something new and clever despite any risks. How many people are feeling this so far? Enterprise Mountain. When I spoke to God about this, I went to God and asked him for a mandate for this. And I said, well, okay, those are the dictionary definitions of what Enterprise is all about. How do you see it? What do you want to tell me it's about? It's a great endeavour. Well, what does a great endeavour mean? Well, it's an attempt to achieve a goal. It's earnest, prolonged, and industrious effort. Okay, so it'll take some work then. So Enterprise, by definition, was going to require us to take things beyond the safe, beyond the known, beyond the comfortable, and venture into the unknown with God. And if you're not comfortable with that, you won't be comfortable with the things I'm going to share. The church is notoriously risk-averse. Many people in the church environment, especially the more traditional churches, don't particularly want to rock the boat or do anything new. That's not what God's telling us to do. So, given the church is notoriously risk-averse, why does God want us to take this on? Well, he basically said we can take risks based on what he tells us to do. So we're not taking risks just for the sake of it. We're doing what he's telling us to do. Okay, so I said, okay, God, if you want us to take risks, what examples have you got? And he said, look at Joshua. Joshua had it tough. He had to follow Moses. That's a bit of a tough act to follow. And he had to lead and govern 2 million people who'd been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. He had to invade and conquer the Promised Land, and he had 31 kings to defeat. And he actually got it wrong, so he fought more than 31 battles. He had to occupy the territory once he'd won those cities, and he had to establish and effectively run a nation. Now, in Joshua 1, God says, be strong and courageous. So why did God say that to him 3 times in the first chapter? He also said, as with Moses, I will be with you. Well, how was he with Moses? Well, he kind of dragged him out of obscurity, told him to go to the most powerful nation on earth, walk up to Pharaoh and say, free my people. Do you think that frightened him a bit? Do you think that caused him some consternation when God said, go and do that? Yes, it did. And if you read the story, you'll see how much it caused him to be a problem. So risk requires faith and trust. So if you're going to get involved in this, there's some faith and some trust required. But what is Enterprise all about? Enterprise, from the point of view of the mountains, is it's about organization. It's about structure. It's about bringing administration and management. And it's about resources management and the application of those resources. It's about business. It's about having businesses. It's about trading. It's about goods and services. So we'll have to get involved in the marketplace. It's an important plan. We've already got one of those. God gave us a blueprint. He's told us where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. And it's about earning money. We have to make profits and surpluses. But he says it's often difficult. So this is going to be challenging and even risky. How many people are feeling it so far? Okay, back to the beginning. We need to go back and look at what God told us to do a little while ago. And Mike did a whole series on what the church is about, where the church is going, what our hopes and dreams are. So let's go back and revisit some of those. The church hopes and dreams. I picked these directly out of one of Mike's presentations to remind us exactly what God said. So we see ourselves as being a place where anyone can find love, acceptance, significance and purpose. We see ourselves exercising dominion in the marketplace. We see ourselves operating a school for supernatural ministry and healing ministries. We see ourselves in the community bringing transformation. We see ourselves providing affordable quality housing. We see ourselves as a healing revival centre. We see ourselves as an apostolic resource centre. We see ourselves being and raising up a Joshua generation. We see ourselves receiving a harvest of labourers for the end time harvest. We see ourselves living in and out of the manifest presence of God. We see ourselves operating in creative power. We see ourselves as a media centre. We see ourselves undertaking enterprises with initiative, ingenuity and resourcefulness. I like that one. And we see ourselves as a city of refuge. Did you get all of that? We're a place, we're in the marketplace, we're a school, we're serving the community, we have affordable housing, we have a revival centre, we have an apostolic resources centre, we have a media centre, and we're a city of refuge. Do you think that might take some organisation? Do you think that might take some work? Do you think that might be challenging or even risky? Let's join some dots. The first thing is we've got to know what to do. So we need a blueprint, a strategy and a mandate from heaven. Now we all know about those things. Mike's been talking to us about those things. So we know that God gives blueprints. Well, how do we know that? Well, because there are examples in the Bible. Noah's Ark. Go and build me an ark because I'm going to destroy the human race because they're all evil. What's an ark then? Well, here's a blueprint. Go and do this. Okay. Solomon built the temple. What's the temple look like? It has to look like exactly what it looks like in heaven. It has to be this shape, this size, and covered in this glory and this gold. And we gave him an exact blueprint to do it with. So he will give us exact blueprints for what he wants us to do as well. He gives a strategy. Joshua to destroy Jericho. Walk around it 7 times. Blow trumpets, it will fall down. Really? Okay. Gideon, go and defeat all these Philistines, and you only got 300 men to do it with. God gives mandates. Now what he's given us is the best mandate of all. He's given us Jesus' authority. He's given us authority as a co-heir. So we should be able to do everything that he asks us to do. Shouldn't we? So how does it all relate together? You've heard about all the other mountains. You've heard about all the other areas that we're looking at. You've heard about the things that we want to bring together and God's heart for them. So every mountain relates to and is connected to the other mountains in 7 dimensions. I tried to find a picture of this, but it's impossible because you can't draw 7 dimensions. Each mountain is part of the bigger blueprint. So everything that we've spoken about earlier on, all those things that we have to have, each mountain contributes to us having those things, whether it's the School of Supernatural Ministry, whether it's healing, whether it's housing, whatever it is, each mountain contributes to having and doing those things. The blueprints are just designs. And they're just designs until we apply resources to them. And action, there's the tricky one. The biggest nation on earth, procrastination, is alive and well in the church. We've got to stop it. We actually have to step up. So enterprise supplies the organisation, which is the governmental part of what is needed to bring all of these mountains and all of these things into being as organisations and as things that will touch the world. But it also brings us the accountability and the direction. And it manages the risk. So yes, there will be risks, but the organisations will manage the risks. So enterprise provides the method and the for applying the resources. Well, what resources? Well, we know we've got heaven's earth and earth's resources. The trouble is, we very often apply earth's resources and end up in works. Or we go the other direction, we spend all our time in heaven and not bringing it to earth. What God wants us to do is take what we have learned about our heavenly mandates and our heavenly authority and bring it to earth and put action to it. We can't just say, we've been and we've prayed, we've got a mandate, we've got this stuff, we've dispatched angels. We have to cooperate as well. We have to share and partner in this. And that is where enterprise comes in. You can't expect God to do it all, because he wants us to work with him. So why do we need an enterprise mountain? Well, it's how we bring the other mountains and more to the world, to get beyond our own church walls and the people and reach the world. So we need to scale it up. We need to scale it up. We can't do things in a small way. So why do we need that? That's kind of obvious, because we cannot deliver the blueprint or change the world by only ministering to ourselves. It's great to practice. We have to learn. But we cannot change the world. We cannot change Barnstable, let alone the world, if all we do is minister in these walls and to the people we know. So we have to learn how to get beyond that. Now, we already have some experience of that, because we have a project that operates from here, a charity that operates from here that meets and works with our community. But, obviously, with the scale comes the ability to reach more people. Well, what people? We've said we want to raise up a Joshua generation. Is that just us? No. We want to impact our community. How big a community do we want to impact? Newport, Barnstable, North Devon, Devon, England? We have an ecclesia. Mike's done a whole series on Ecclesia Rising, which sounds like an album to me. But we need to be able to get out there and touch the world with what we're bringing. Enterprises have a decent amount. But what kind of enterprises are we talking about? We mentioned some of those at the beginning, back in what I said, all this list of stuff. Now, this is where I need to sort of expand what I'm talking about. Because when God talked to me about the Enterprise Mountain, he took me to a place and he showed me the scale of what he was talking about. And he took me to a high place, and I had a vision of all the kingdoms of the world being impacted by things that we start. And there were ripples that went from here, and they went across the country, they went across Europe, they went across the oceans to America, and they went to Africa. And the things we start will be dropping stones in the pond, but the ripple effect will be that much greater. So, I mentioned at the start, Joshua Nation. What do I mean by the Joshua Nation? If you have a generation of people following Joshua, and if you are following Joshua, then you are the Joshua Nation. What is a nation? It's a collection of individuals with a single identity. Interesting. But we're called to bring heaven to earth, but what does that look like on a daily basis? Do we know how this fits into our daily lives? How are we going to change our daily lives to bring this, rather than just doing what we always do? As Mike said last week, the week before, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'd always get what you've always got. And that's not what we're called to. That's not what we're about, is it? So God is preparing us to equip a Joshua generation. What does that look like? But the Joshua generation is a Joshua nation, and the Joshua nation will live in that way, not just be that way. But he also says, be a city of refuge. What's a city of refuge? In the Old Testament, it was a place of asylum. It was a place of safety that you could go to in a time of need. Well, what would a modern city of refuge look like, and why would we need one? Why would we need a city of refuge? Well, you only need a city of refuge if there's problems coming, if there's trouble on the horizon, if there's a place where you need to go to be safe. But if that's the place that we need to be, what does that need to look like? How do you organise, run or manage a city? And what if it's not just a city? What if it's an area, a territory? What would we need suddenly if modern society no longer functioned? Could be tricky, that one. But that's the stuff that enterprise will lead to. I'm not saying this stuff will happen overnight, but we know it's an end of a generation this year. End of a generation. So what does that mean? What is God going to do? What's going to change? We know the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all others. What does that mean, and what will that require? What will happen for that to happen? These are the areas that are under the Enterprise Mountain. And they're quite broad. And right now they're quite big and ambitious. So business and commerce, that's what we'd expect to be in there. We'd expect any kind of business to be in there. Homes and housing, that was mentioned specifically. But what about food and provision? We already do food here, and we have a food bank. But what if we needed to do more than that? What about social needs? Well, we do a lot of that here as well through our project. But what about kingdom finance? What about operating money systems? What about civil protection? If the world order collapses, who protects the weak? And what about energy and power? You can't live in a modern society without those things. Now, let's rattle through these quickly. So, food and provision. Production. We've got to get food somewhere. What about agriculture, horticulture? What about allotments and farms? What if we have to run those things and have those things? What about processing that, turning it into healthy food? None of this processed stuff with a million sugars. What about storage and preservation? How do we keep it? What about multiplying it supernaturally, bringing supernatural increase? If God wants us to bring stuff from heaven to earth, does that include food? Does that include us, the ability to break bread and get more loaves out of the same loaf? Jesus did it. Greater works than these. I like the sound of that. Distribution. We've got to get it out there somewhere. Do we sell it? Do we give it away? Either way, we'll need logistics. We've got to move it. We've got to keep it. Got to store it. Housing. We want our own houses. We've already made a start in the project. We're buying our first one now. We've put an offer in. We've got houses in the community already for the guys, and they move on from the TC. We have the TC. But we want to manage more housing. We want to have control of more housing. We want to bring good quality housing, not just to Barnstable, but in a wider area. So maybe we need a letting agency. Maybe we need to maintain those houses. How do you do that? Well, we need builders and plumbers and electricians and decorators and gardeners and whatever else you can think of. Maybe those are all businesses that we have, or businesses that you have, that you can apply to the cause. Do we want to build houses? Yes. Give me some land. Health. What about health? We've talked about healing rooms. Now, healing rooms would be great, but that would be a really good step. But you still have to have some sort of organisation to run your healing rooms, book appointments, know who's on duty, all that sort of stuff. So you've got to put some kind of structure to that. But what if it goes bigger than that? What if you have to have hospitals and clinics? What if the hospitals and clinics that we have supernatural healing, not pharmaceutical healing? What if we don't need surgery anymore? What about care homes and hospices? What about end-of-life care? What about older people care? Shouldn't they be in our care? Shouldn't they be the kind of people that we look after? And shouldn't we do it in a good way? Shouldn't everybody lead a full life to the end of their days, as God says, and not have their life cut short? Jeannie works for the Children's Hospice. Wouldn't it be a blessing if they didn't need that anymore? Or if we did, that they'd come in and we'd heal them? What about lifestyle management? How many of us need to lose some weight after Christmas? Diet and nutrition, exercise, preventative medicine, mental health, big issue, mental health, addiction. We know about addiction, we know about addiction treatment, but there's always more. What about an emergency response unit? Now, so I know somebody here has got a vision for being 24/7 revivers. What does that mean? It means there's a smash up on the link road, somebody's dead, they call us, we go, we pray, we raise them. How exciting would that be? But what would that require? What would that require for that agency, for the ambulance service or the police to pick up the phone to us and say, come now? For them to trust that we would come and that what we would do would be right. They'd have to believe it. And the only way they'd believe it is because we had already demonstrated it. Schools. Social needs. Well, we already do some of this because we've got the centre. We've got the project. For a day centre, we have a TC, you guys out there. It's part of what we do as a church. We've got a gym, but what about the rest of the community? What do they need? What would we need to do for them to meet their social needs? Not everybody is at the point where they need to come to the centre here, but most people have got some sort of social need, whether it's daycare, whether it's just befriending. What is it that we need to be doing, and how would we organise it? We want a supernatural school of ministry. That sounds like some organising to me. Booking courses, running courses, making sure people are following a certain standard before they go out. Healing school. Teach them how to do that right. Got to be careful with that one. What about children's schools? How should we be teaching our children? How do we teach according to gifts and abilities? How do we bring out their redemptive gifts, not just shoehorn them into a system? I heard a statistic that the modern education system only actually benefits 30% of the children that we put through it. Joe reckons it's less, probably could tell me. That's shocking, isn't it? How many people branded as non-academic because they didn't fit a system rather than the system being tailored to help them? We did other things as well. Amenities, recreation, sports, theatre, parks and gardens, other stuff. Who knows? Let's get on to the one I like most. Banking. This is exciting, this one. Are our resources the same as God's? Or can we draw on heaven's resources and treat them as our own? What if we could give loans at a low rate of interest or interest-free, rather than people having to go to payday loan companies when they're broke and poor and needing something? No more 2,500% rates. What if we have deposit and current accounts? Commercial banking, help businesses. Let's actually help businesses. What about debt freedom? Now, we've worked with CAP in the past. I'm not saying we have to do all this stuff ourselves, by the way. We can find the right partners, the right Christian partners, the right people to work with us to increase our influence and to learn from. CAP is one of those organisations that I really like, Janet really likes. I went to see them. What an amazing organisation. What if we could pay off the national debt of the UK? Or someone else's national debt? How much money would that take? Do you think that's a lot of money to God?
No.
So why does it feel like a lot of money to us? One of the things we have to do is expand our thinking and think on a God scale. And that is really difficult when you're just living a day-to-day life and you've got your own problems. But what part of the process of going through enterprise and through these mountains is God is making us lift our eyes. Lift our eyes to the hills. Think. Let's pay off the national debt. What about charitable giving? As a charity here, we rely on about 80% of our funding coming from grant-making trusts. I'd like to stop that. I'd like it that we give away 80% of our funding because we are a grant-making trust. What about equitable investments? What about putting money into things that are righteous and godly, but still make a return for those people who give us their money to invest? What about foreign currency? What about trading with other currencies? What about a new currency? What happens if currencies collapse? Did you know there's a class action going on in the United States right now against the Federal Reserve to prove that paper money is illegal? It really is. Apparently it's unconstitutional and against the 10th Amendment, which says that you can only repay debt in coin of silver and gold, and they're using paper. So if I took £20 out of my pocket, what would it say? It would say to the bearer, pay to the bearer the sum of £20. If I walked into the Bank of England and said, give me £20, what would they give me £20 of? It used to be silver. It is no longer silver. So what is my £20 actually worth? And is it worth anything just because the Bank of England says it is? Interesting, isn't it? So maybe we need our own bank. Freedom Bank? There's already a Kingdom Bank, and that was set up by people who are kingdompreneurs. That's the term I like. Maybe we should have one too. You can start. You can start small. There's a guy called Creflo Dollar in the United States who did exactly that. He found there wasn't a Christian bank in his state that would lend to people who were poor, who would give them the services and the banking services they need. So he raised enough money to go and set up a bank. If you don't know Creflo Dollar, look him up. But that's what he did. I don't see if he can do it, then we can't do it. We just need to think big enough and believe that God will bring us the resources. Power and utilities. Water and sanitation. That's not so nice, but we've got a drink. And we've got to get rid of the other stuff. Power generation. At the moment, we're tapped into a national grid. Should we be? What happens if that collapses? So one of the things you do when you start a war is you take out the infrastructure, so you knacker the national grid. What then, if no one's got power? Did anybody see there was a drama on, I think it was last year, year before, where they showed what happened when the power went out for 3 weeks? Society collapsed. Society collapsed because there was no power. Why? Well, because you can't keep the lights on, you can't keep food refrigerated. People start to panic. You can't get your money at the bank because you need to go through an ATM. So what do? Society would collapse without power. So what alternatives are there to current power structures? And shouldn't God be giving us the answers to that? Internet and telecoms, let's have our own. But what about supernatural stuff? The Bible says witty inventions. We should have a few witty inventions, don't you think? We should have those things for ourselves. We should own the copyrights and the patents and the intellectual stuff. That should be us. This is e-commerce. This is the easy one. What about services? Some of these are just my favourites, but you can fill in the blanks wherever you like. Broadcasting, radio and TV. We should be doing that. Publishing, hospitality, conferences, manufacturing. Could be anything. If you can make it, we should make it. We're close to computers. Trading, buying and selling stuff, learning how to be a good middleman, because that's where the money is. Manifesting, this is the new one. Can you bring things from the heavenly realm into this one? Actually learn how to transform matter. That's interesting. Civil protection. Said about a Joshua Nation being a city of refuge. Well, what does that mean? You only need a city of refuge if you need to protect things. So we need to understand courts and justice. But we need to bring heaven's courts and justice to earth. We need to change the legal system based on heaven's system. We need to have legislation, laws, lobbying, representation. Maybe for this system, but maybe for one of our own. Law and order. How do you police a new society? What about defence? Joshua had an army. But what would we need? It may be men, it may be angels. It might be both. But we need to start thinking about these things and understanding how they fit together to deliver a blueprint. So, summarise, been going on long enough. It's businesses, it's charities, it's resources, it's jobs. Wouldn't it be nice to create jobs? It's income for all the things that we want to give away, all the things we want to fund, all the people we want to support. We need that income. Now, we already have some of the above. We have the project, we have the TC, we have some housing, but we need to step out and do more. We need to have faith that we can do more. And we need to keep an eye on what is to come. God called us to be as the sons of Issachar, so we must know the signs of the times. So the next question is, what's your destiny? Where do you fit? You may already be doing some of this, you may already be in it, but are you doing everything that God has called you to? If not, and there's something else that resonates, ask God about it. And when you've done that, I'm very happy to talk to you about it as well. Because we're in a time of preparation. Qualifications are not needed. Willingness is. But there is something for everyone. Everything I've talked about, somewhere, we're probably all involved in at some level. Whether it's a job for somebody, and it's not connected with how you think your faith works or how your church life is, everybody is doing something, and everybody needs to start rethinking it in terms of the kingdom. God will be releasing dreams, ideas, and witty inventions. I want some of those. I want some of those. Requirements, willingness, that's it. Listen to God and do what he says. Ability to operate in faith and work through the challenges. As I said at the beginning, there'll be risk. It will be difficult. By definition, it will be challenging. If you're not up for that, you're in the wrong place. You've got to have a heart for outworking things practically on any of the mountains. So you may want to engage with harmony or freedom or whatever else, but actually how do you then manifest that on earth? How do you make that work? How do you outwork that so people can benefit? And I don't mean people in here, I mean people out there and in the world and wider. Where do we go? So, have a desire to take the blueprint out and beyond freedom, and a willingness to commit and be responsible and accountable. Well, flip, you're going to hold me to account. Because God will hold us to account. Because when he shows us things and he tells us stuff and he reveals things to us, become responsible for it. So once you know, you can't say, that wasn't up to me. Because it is. Be willing to be part of a team and fulfill a role at any level. Now you may be saying, well, you know, oh, I don't know how to make these things. I don't know how to run a company. I don't know how to run a charity. I don't know how to do this, that, and the other. That's fine. Other people do. What you need to do is find your place. Maybe that your place is to do some fundraising and shake it in. It may be that your place is to lay hands on people who are sick and see them healed. It may be that your place is to run the organisation and sort out all the stuff that needs to be done to keep Charity Commission happy. Whatever it is, find your place. Find your place. We need foot soldiers as well as generals. In fact, we need more of them than we need generals. You know, the most useful people in an army are sergeants, not generals. So we could do with a few of them. So, are you up for a challenge? And when it gets tough, I shall leave you with that question. There is some comfort, because the Bible says, this is one of my favourite scriptures, 2 Corinthians, 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That's a promise I like. I think we should take hold of that one. Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you.